Hi there, this is Pastor Tim. I'm the minister at Eastside Church. We are a United Methodist congregation in East Atlanta Village. We seek to be creative, historic, and inclusive. And we are thrilled that you found our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about our church community, you can visit us at www.eastsideatl.org. Well, again, friends, good morning. Since this is the first time I've been with most of you since the new year, happy New Year's. It is 2020, somehow. Not the television show, the year. Well, if you're guests with us, it will be helpful for you to know that here at Eastside, we are something of a semi-liturgical community. If you're not familiar with liturgical Christianity, there are these churches who follow this thing called the Christian year, and all churches, to some extent, follow the Christian year, Christmas, Easter, but some churches also observe some additional special high holy days, and here at Eastside, and for liturgical Christianity, this happens to be one of those mornings. Today we celebrate, we remember, we reflect on an event that takes place in the three synoptic gospels, the baptism of our Lord Sunday. That strange and mysterious event where the Christ himself wades into the waters of the Jordan River, offering himself to be baptized by John. This text that scholars and theologians and pastors to this day continue to debate upon its significance, on its meaning, what it's all about. And this morning, yet again, we return to it on our yearly cycle. So friends, without further introduction, as you're able, if you would please stand with me in body or in spirit for the reading of Holy Scripture. The lectionary this year directs us to Matthew's rendering of this account from Matthew chapter 3. We'll begin reading in verse 1. In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths." Now John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food with locust and wild honey. The people of Jerusalem and all of Judea were going out to him, and all the region along the Jordan. They were being baptized by him in the Jordan River. They were confessing their sins. But when John saw that many Pharisees and Sadducees too were coming to him for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you? Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit, fruit that is worthy of repentance. Don't simply presume to yourselves saying, 'Well, we have Abraham as our ancestor.' I tell you, God is able to raise up from these very stones descendants of Abraham. Even now, the axe is lying at the root of the tree. Every tree that does not bear good fruit gets cut down and is thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but one more powerful than I is coming after me. I'm not even worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand. He will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and yet you come to me." But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so. It's proper for us to fulfill all righteousness." And then John consented. When Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him. He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." Friends, the word of God for us, the people of God. Let us pray. Holy One, God who was, God who shall be, may we be so aware that you are here now in this present. Meet us, O God. Speak to us. Give us open hearts to receive from you. And as I preach, God, I pray that these words that I have prepared might be your word for your people in this time. God, I ask that you would speak through them and as necessary in spite of me. And as I preach, God, I ask that the words of my mouth and the collective meditations of all of our hearts would indeed be found right, good, and pleasing in your sight. God, our rock, God, our redeemer, God, our savior. All of this we pray in the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Friends, you may be seated. Georgia, Florida, Alabama. You're all thinking football. I'm talking about water. The federal government has to be involved in this ongoing dispute that our three states have over Lake Lanier, the Chattahoochee. Whose water is it anyway? Water is power. Water is necessity. H2O, it covers 71% of our world's surface. It should be about 60% of your body's makeup. Over half of you should be H2O. With water we live, without water we die. And water, it allows for life. And water, it gets sucked up into the root system of plants, of vegetation. It goes up into the trunk, into the branches, into the leaves. Leaves that then collect the sunlight, feed the trees, that then make oxygen so that we can stay alive. Friends, I don't think it's an exaggeration to say that water leads to life. It allows us to exist. And it's one of these realities that we take so easily for granted. I see this every single time one of my sons goes to take a shower. They will literally stay in the shower without doing any washing until the water runs cold, just standing there. And every time I go in there to my little turds and I say, those are liquid dollars running out of those faucets. Finish yourselves up, boys, now. Sometimes I'll go in and they'll have their eyes closed and I'll just turn it to cold. It's great. The restaurant, Dad, water's boring. Yeah, and soda makes you insane. Server, three waters, please. But it's easy for us in our comfortable American culture to take this reality for granted, to lose some respect for the magnitude of the reality. Until, of course, in Atlanta, you have one tiny little leak for a month, and then you get a $2,000 water bill the next. Some of you in the room have probably had this happen to you. Water is worthy of our respect. Without it, we humans, we don't exist. If water goes away, so do each of us. Physicians say, give or take, we can last about a week, depending on the person, without a drink of water. You can go 21 days without food, give or take a week without water. Water's more important than food. The earth requires H2O. Our bodies require oxygen. Oxygen comes from vegetation. Trees and plants require water to sprout and to grow and to thrive. Water is life. Water is quite literally a part of each and every one of your beings in this room. We are walking around with water. It's part of our essence. We would not be here without it. They say that it lubricates our joints. It's in every single cell of our bodies. There's not a part of you that exists physically without water, from your eyes to your lungs to your kidneys. Did you know that your brain, 73% water. Your kidneys, 79% water. 79%. Your kidneys. And your lungs. This one surprised me. 83% of your lungs, water. 83% of the part of your body that breathes the oxygen made by the plants that exist because of water is made from water. That's remarkable. Amen? As I was preparing this sermon this week, I could not help but step back and recognize just the mere fact that humanity and the planet Earth is mind-boggling. This morning, if you find yourself bored with existence as an adult, frustrated with life, go back and reread an elementary science book. This stuff is nuts. We get used to it, and we take it for granted. Friend, the glory of God is etched into every single one of y'all's existence, in your bodies. God's very fingerprints are on everything, everywhere. Water and oxygen, are you kidding me? Evolutionary biologists, they teach us that all of life originated in a pool of water. Primordial stew. Water came. Life came from water. Life continues to come through water. Water makes plants grow. Plants eat the sun. They create oxygen. Our human lungs that breathe in the oxygen are made of 83% water. That is rad. Friends, science is a sermon. Nature is a text of Scripture. If we're paying attention, water is from God, which in a sense means that water, all of God's creation, is holy. Babies grow in a womb filled with water. And let's not forget, the entire Bible starts with what? It starts with... You're not paying attention. It starts with? It starts with water. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was formless, void, and darkness covered the face of the earth, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. That's how the Bible starts. The beginning of the ancient Hebrew scriptures, we encounter water, light, and the Spirit of God. In the beginning, the divine spirit is found ordering this sort of chaotic reality on our planet, bringing things from a state of inorganic chaos to a state of organic wonder and beauty and majesty, the world. The Bible begins with inorganic chaos to a state of organic wonder and beauty. The Bible begins with sort of a cosmic botanical scientist. Begins with the ocean and the divine coming together, commingling. That is the God that we are introduced to at the very beginning of our Hebrew scriptures. The ancient writers tell us that the presence of the divine is blowing like a wind over the waters of the ocean, and then something new happens. God is on the move. God goes to chaos. God makes something new. That's the very first thing we learn about God. Maybe this morning it isn't a stretch to say that the image of God hovering over the primordial waters at creation is the same reality, the same God that meets us in our baptism. God taking the chaos of a human life, doing the work of ordering it, fashioning it, making it into something new, a spiritual organism, something beautiful. See, friends, I believe that every time I have the honor of standing over the waters of baptism here at Eastside, it's not really me as much as it is the Spirit of God hovering over those waters, baptizing that child or that adult. It might be my physical hands, but they're just a placeholder for the Spirit of the living God. Water brings us physical life. The Spirit of God brings us spiritual life. There's a connection, too, my friends, throughout Scripture between Spirit and water. Water brings good. Water brings new. Baptism brings goodness. Baptism brings new. Same time, there's another dimension to baptism. In Romans chapter 6, where Paul speaks of baptism, the word he uses is baptizo, and it's the same Greek word that you would use for a ship that goes out to sea and doesn't come back. Baptizo, a ship that goes down, doesn't generally come back up, except for like the little floaty ones in my kid's bathtub that I think we threw away because it got really gross and moldy. The ship goes down and it doesn't come back up. Baptizo. Water is power. It has the power to bring life. It also has the power to drown. And by its nature, it requires proper ordering if it's going to be life-giving. My oldest son understands this importance of it being properly ordered for it to be able to give proper life. His science fair project last fall, I was going to try to bring a picture of it, but it was this series of pipes, kind of like the internet. That's a bad joke. But it was a series of pipes with a plastic sheet over top with the idea that you would place the plants underneath of it so that you could bring the sheet up when it was raining, but if it rained too much, you could put the sheet down, and then the series of pipes would catch the extra water, and it would be kind of like an aqueduct. A cool science fair project. I'm not sure how practical it is, but I like it. But it gets at this idea that water is powerful, but water can also drown. I don't even need to illustrate this reality for you. We just look at the weather patterns in the South over the last several years. At the same time, we can't just go drinking ocean water. Humans need to drink fresh water. And not just any fresh water works anymore, right? Most water, if it hasn't been purified, is full of bacteria or pollutants, and it will hurt us. We were in Indiana after Christmas visiting family, and it snowed, which was wonderful, except my kids don't quite have the normal exposure to snow, as most of your children probably don't either. And even though we told them multiple times not to eat the snow, my middle child picks up this clump of snow off of a beaten-down sidewalk and starts to eat it. And I'm like, buddy, not all water is equal. Don't eat the snow. People walk their dogs. Water feeds the plants whose leaves suck up the sunlight, photosynthesis. It creates oxygen that our lungs require, but that same water can fill our lungs and drown us. Water brings life. Water can also baptize. Baptism brings new life, but baptism also requires some drowning. Friends, through baptism, a part of us necessarily dies. When you go to plant crops, most of the time you don't just dig a hole, but you prepare the soil. There's a process of tilling, of removing weeds. You try to create a hospitable reality so that that seed might take root and grow. In baptism, there's some clearing of some things that take place so that something new in us can be birthed, can grow, can come into the world. Through baptism, we emerge as new creations, but we're asked to leave some things behind. We start a new journey towards a life that we're seeking to grow into the likeness of the Christ. We're seeking to become miniature Christ. Baptism is not an end, but it's a point. It's a marker on our journeys. So whether you're baptized as a child and you don't even remember it, or you're baptized as an adult, it doesn't really matter. It's this marking. It's this rich symbol, this powerful sacrament that shows this reality that in all of our lives, whether it happens at a point or whether it keeps happening over and over and over again, there's this shedding, there's this movement, there's this letting go, there's this creating space, so so that there's space for God to grow something new in us, to do something new through us, for the roots of God's kingdom to take root in our lives, for the Spirit to do something in us. If you came in the doors off Moreland Avenue, or if you've been on social media over the weekend and you follow Eastside, then you know that we're entering into a new campaign as a church. And honestly, it's really a campaign that, pun intended, is an outcropping of our You Are Loved campaign. It's a campaign that we hope grows from the soil of this baseline reality that you are loved. It's a campaign that we hope begins with this reality that God's love for the human race, for the human condition, is unconditional, even in all of our messiness and in all of our brokenness. God's love is always sustained for humanity. You are loved. It was and it still is our attempt as a congregation to offer something of a baseline message to our community, to this city, to what Eastside believes that God feels and believes and is towards our human race and towards our planet. That no matter what we do, no matter how much we mess it up, collectively and as individuals, we are loved by our Creator. And for some this morning, on this new year, you have already blown your New Year's resolution 10 ways till Sunday, and you just need to hear that you are loved. You are a child of the divine. The Creator is desperately reaching for you. You are loved is a message that we want our children to receive, and we want them to breathe it like the air they breathe. We want them to assume it like the water they drink out of the faucet. What if our friends, family, coworkers existed in a space, woke up to a reality like water, that you are loved? The water we drink, the air we breathe, it's the ecological framework out of which we are creating our lives and living our lives in this world, and it's the baseline out of which hopefully the next season of our church, as we preach into this new season, emerges. From the soil of God's love, what if something new sprouts? A new plant, a new creation? What if a new root system digs down deep in the soil of our hearts in 2020? What if we ask questions of ourselves in this new year? Not just about our physical bodies, though you need to take care of those, but about our spiritual reality. Where, how is the Spirit of God at work in your life? What if the love of God becomes the soil of our lives, the very nutrients of our existence? What if we begin to see ourselves, whoever we may be, as a seed, or some of you may be a seedling, or some of you may be a slightly larger plant, but maybe you see yourself as a human being crafted, being fertilized, being brought to life by the very life-giving force of the God who created our world? How is God calling you into existence for such a time as this? None of us are exempt from this. None of us get a pass. Each of you, your life is a platform. Your life is a space for the very presence and the work of God to be real on this planet. It's true of myself, and it's true of each of us. And I think on a morning like this, where we enter into this new season, it's appropriate for us to remember our baptisms, for us to remember those vows that we say when a child comes forth or when we join the church. New series that emerges from a section from Paul's epistle to the church in Ephesus, chapter 3, where he writes to this church community these beautiful words. It's actually a prayer that he writes for this church community. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name, I pray that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the height, the depth, to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with the fullness of God, who on this morning wants to be filled with the fullness of the divine. Sounds like a life worth living, amen? Paul finishes by saying, "Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than we could ask or imagine." More than we can imagine. "To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen." There's different theories. Commentators have different perspectives on why the Christ was baptized, why the Gospel of John doesn't highlight this event in Jesus' life, but the Synoptics do. The way I read the text is Jesus, the Savior, the Christ, is wading into the waters with us, and in so doing is empowering us to be as he is. He's bringing himself to the people who were being baptized in the dirty, muddy Jordan River, not because he had to, but because he wanted to. God was seeking solidarity with the dirty, broken humankind who were repenting of their sin and saying, "I am with you. I'm on this journey alongside of you. Let's do this together." So this morning, as we remember our baptisms, maybe a couple simple thoughts to take with you. We don't believe in rebaptism in the United Methodist way. We believe that God's first baptism does what it needed to do. But are there some places in our lives that do need to be let go of, to be drowned, to be let float off to sea and say goodbye to, so that we've opened up new space, new opportunity for the Spirit of God to work in us, to work through us? And then on the other side of that, if baptism, if water brings new life, what is that new reality that God is seeking to bring into our world through your life in this new year? Maybe foster those two questions as we have an opportunity later to take that water and to make the sign of the cross over us. And this year, as we engage in the baptismal experience, I hope that you see the profoundness of the two things we're asking you to do, because one of those things is to take a cup with paint in it and pour it over the canvas to represent that baptism is not just about old. It's not just about washing and cleansing, though that's part of it. But it's also about the new piece of art that God wants to bring into the world through your life. And then also, we take the water in our hand, and we make the sign of the cross over our bodies, once again recognizing that there are some things that need to go the way of 2019. Amen? Amen. It's all in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. Well, siblings in Christ, at this time in our worship service, we're going to turn from the word proclaimed to offering our gifts and our tithes back to God. And just a quick thank you to the many of you who have done as Heidi has so eloquently and faithfully been asking all of us to do, to move our online giving from Church Community Builder over to our new platform of Give. We've got most of you there. There's a few of you who are holdouts. If you could get to that this week, it'd be really helpful. We're trying to say goodbye to that platform so we don't have to continue to pay for that one and move to the new one, which is just an overall much easier user experience for everyone. But if you've already done that, thank you. And to those of you who haven't, we just throw out that one little bit of encouragement to keep moving in the path towards holiness, which is the path moving away from Community Builder to Give. With that, friends, let me pray and ask God to bless our gifts. Good and gracious God, Creator God, who models generosity in the very beginning of the Bible as we read your Spirit bringing new life from chaos. May you take the gifts that are about to be given and magnify, multiply, do more with them, God, than should be humanly possible. May they go to strengthen the ministries of Eastside Church for those who call this place home. May they go to pour over, to splash out like holy water into this community. May they go to splash out to make an impact across our world as far as our friends in Ticolette and Haiti, God. Use this church. Make it strong. Fill us with water. Make us a hydrated community so that we might have something to pour forth. We might have something to offer a thirsty, broken, hurting planet. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Well, we hope that you've enjoyed this week's message, and we look forward to seeing you soon. If you listen from afar and you would like to support the work that we are doing in East Atlanta and on Atlanta's East Side, you can visit our website, www.eastsideatl.org, and find our giving portal there.